You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What up, gangs? How's everybody doing this afternoon?
So good. What a day.
You are on little sleep and so perky.
Yes.
It's running that new lifestyle of hers.
Yeah.
Get up early, eggs and bacon for breakfast.
Google propofol.
How was...
Okay, so Scream 2, let's...
Smile 2.
Smile 2, which involved a lot of screaming.
Now she sounds like she had an hour's sleep.
2.
Whatever that movie was.
Let's talk about it. Oof. Did you see the first one, Dan?
No.
Oh, it's so creative and so scary and some gore, but more thriller jump scare. This is a little more gory, but so many jump scares and a couple of scenes that I, in the middle of the night, was like, oh! Like the cat jumped off the counter at one point, and I thought someone was literally trying to kill me.
Hmm.
It is worth the $15. Yep. Yeah, you should be an extra in that.
So they went more.
I do pretty good, don't I?
You
they
do a
went
good
more
smile.
With the jump scare approach this time and less of the mind blank.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. And it follows generally, you know, the first. I keep wanting to say Scream. The first
Smile.
Smile was set really in a mental ward, psych ward.
That's right. Now I can see the previews in my head now. Yeah.
This one, there's no spoilers here. This is in the trailer. Is picture not a rock star, but sort of a, I don't want to call her a rock star. Picture like a more talented Britney Spears who is having some mental challenges, has had some trauma in her life.
So just picture Britney Spears.
A little bit. And then all of a sudden, sort of like in the Joker, Scott, you don't really know what she's saying, what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
And so it was a very creative way, I thought, to continue the storyline. I can't imagine there's a third or a fourth episode out of this, but...
So having never seen either one, are there any recurring characters?
No, there is a brief mention toward the end of a character in an earlier show. And I pointed out, the kids went with me last night. I pointed out that was the brother of the guy in the psych ward. And the first one, they went, oh, yeah. But you would not have to see that to follow any of the movie.
So it stands independent.
It stands independently. But if you are going to see one of the two, see the first. Without question, see the first one.
So this one had less of an aggressive impact on people who might be suffering from, I don't know, extreme depression.
I still would not go see it if that's in your wheelhouse right now. It's disturbing.
Because that's what we heard about the first one was if you're struggling,
that's right.
Avoid at all costs.
If you have mental health issues and are depressed, do not go see Smile 1.
It is disturbing. But 1 is still better, as per usual, than 2.
Ooh, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. That the second movie is always worse than the first?
Man, Equalizer 2 was pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Top Gun Maverick?
Top Gun Maverick's better than Top Gun. Empire Strikes Back is better than the original Star Wars.
Oh, absolutely.
Empire Strikes Back's the best one.
In the horror genre, though, have they ever done a second one better? Jaws 2? Think about that. I mean,
I've never seen any of the Jaws movies.
It's hard, I think, in that genre specifically, for it to be better the second time around.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2 was not as good as Nightmare on Elm Street 1, because you already know the shtick.
I would say Saw 2 and 3 were better than Saw 1.
I agree with you on that.
Never seen it.
You've never seen Saw?
I can't bring my... That is just... To me, gore for the sake of gore is not my thing, even during Halloween.
So I have seen... I don't like horror movies, but I did see Saw 1, 2, and 3.
After that,
I don't like horror movies, but I'm down with the trilogy of the gore of Saw.
Yeah. After 3, there's really no point in wasting your time. But 1, 2, and 3, I've argued for a long time, are some of the best horror movies out there.
Really?
They're pretty good.
Ugh.
And they actually have a storyline. And
there's a plot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get involved with the characters.
You get scared like crazy.
Dan, are you afraid to talk on the radio today?
No, I'm just looking at stuff.
Oh, okay.
Did you not sleep either, Dan?
I am feeling a little tired on this hump day.
Bump, 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 bump. There weren't that many people in the theater, I'll tell you that.
You know, I didn't connect the fact that you said you didn't sleep at all with the fact that you went and saw Smile 2. Were the two related?
Somewhat.
Okay.
I think somewhat. Yeah.
There's only one scary movie that's ever kept me up at night. It was called Mama.
Mama?
Oh, I have a long list of scary movies that have kept me up at night.
Amityville Horror. I never saw the movie, But as a child, I saw the trailers, the commercials.
All
on
you
TV.
Needed was watching them leaving in the dark at night. Yep.
That's it.
And the wind. Do you remember the window slamming on someone's fingers? The window in that movie slammed on a child's fingers, and you just see the child going, bah! And in the trailer, I mean, that haunted me for years too, Dan.
Well, that has a personal impact with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Remember your traumatic injury?
Car doors.
Oh, my traumatic house story. Both actually are apropos. Yeah. Carry on.
We do Godfather Part 2 was better than the Godfather Part 1.
I've never gotten through an entire Godfather.
I've never seen it.
I'm sorry, I haven't.
Well,
I'm,
it was before 1977. Of course, you haven't seen it.
I've never seen a minute of. I revealed the other day.
I tried.
I have only seen three movies ever made before 1977.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some of them are good. Some of them don't really.
Wizard of Oz, Clockwork Orange, Patton.
Ben-Hur. You were around when that was made.
Okay.
Ah! Oh, speaking of, Sam pulled the trailer. I saw this on TV the other night. We got the full trailer last night. Guess what they are bringing back? And dare I say, it might be better than the first.
Is it a sequel or a remake?
Sort of a sequel. Russell Crowe.
Oh, Gladiator Denzel Washington.
They are bringing back Gladiator.
Oh, that's been out for, it's been known for a while. Denzel Washington's in it. I was telling my mom about this last night. We went over to Sarah's for dinner, and I don't know how the Coliseum came up.
Oh.
But it did. And when I was living in a small town that starts with an X in a country I can't name, 2,000 years ago, this country, we were talking about, you know, the gladiators would come out and it was sport to watch them get killed or watch them kill others or animals. In my little town of Xanten with an X, Xanten, Germany, it had been overrun by the Romans 2,000 years ago. There is a small Colosseum even in that town.
Okay. They have released a Gladiator 2 popcorn bucket that might be the coolest thing anyone has ever seen. It's like a commemorative square. It looks like the Colosseum, and then the popcorn is coming out of it. This was widely posted on social overnight. The trailer looks incredible, Scott. Incredible.
I know.
And you forget how good the first one was with Russell Crowe.
It's very good.
From Rotten Tomatoes.
Which, by the way, is 24 years old now.
Good God, we're getting old. From Rotten Tomatoes, Gladiator 2 First Reactions, Ridley Scott has done it again. They say the sequel is, quote, epic blockbuster filmmaking that benefits from an Oscar-worthy Denzel Washington performance and must be seen in the theaters. It looks like Denzel Washington is the thumbs up or thumbs down guy. Played by Joaquin Phoenix. And he just looks like
Caesar,
the Godfather, who is standing there, you know, am I here to amuse you? Yes.
Well, hang on, I'm going to look that up.
It is an art.
Oh. Gladiators. They're usually prisoners of war.
I claim this city for the glory of Rome.
You have something in you.
Rage.
Never let it go. It will carry you to greatness.
I forgot the first Gladiator won 5 Oscars.
Oh, it's a brilliant movie. When is it coming out? November 22nd.
Oh, I cannot wait.
November 22nd. So a month ago yesterday. Hang on, let me see who...
I will tell you this, in one of the sequences in the Gladiator arena thing, there is a gigantic CGI, but looks very real, rhinoceros. They've upped their Colosseum animal game
in
this one.
I did not see the rhino in the trailer. They definitely brought a chimp or whatever that was.
Sam, I'm telling you, you have to see this in the theater because, you know, with the Dolby sound, it's going boom, 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 boom. Oh, man, it
looks good.
It'll
be a good movie. Okay. Theater movie.
So I don't see a main character playing Caesar. Denzel Washington plays a character named, I'm not going to ruin the movie, named Macrinus. Okay. He is a former slave who is plotting to control Rome.
Got it.
And I'm not going to read anymore.
OK.
because then I'm going to give away the plot.
Well, he's the one choosing the gladiators based on the trailer that we just listened to.
Correct.
I don't know if we're going to do this next story at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, Scott, but this is about to go viral for all of the wrong reasons locally, and it's sort of Halloween related, but also could be criminal. There is a neighborhood in the Kansas City area where it appears either a preteen or teenage, probably boy, is roaming the sidewalks with what appears to be a knife. We don't know if that knife is real. We don't know if that knife is fake.
It doesn't matter.
But a Ring doorbell camera has now captured this individual scaring the crap out of one of the kids in the neighborhood. Kid just goes screaming to his door. And I've reached out to the police chief because on Facebook they are saying a police report has been filed. Who is this kid? What is he doing? Why is he doing it?
We'll get to that and much more coming up in just a moment. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III, Dan Weinbaum. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. So there was an incident, apparently, according to sources to the program, in Tonganoxie the other night, southwest Leavenworth County, where a young kid, a boy, we believe, was running through the streets of this one neighborhood with a knife or a fake knife, presumably trying to scare people with Halloween now a week away.
Now, I want to clarify one thing. I would agree, like, running around like a fool, if you say that, like, in slang terms. He is very slowly, creepily walking down the sidewalk with what appears to be a knife in his right hand and a box or something similar on his head. It is a box.
Well, it's like Michael Myers. Michael Myers would walk around with a butcher's knife very slowly.
And strangely, the police were never around.
In
broad daylight in Tonganoxie. And one of the this sort of has exploded on the neighborhood Facebook groups.
Yeah.
And one of the administrators of the Facebook group says police have been notified. And we reached out to the police department. Have you identified the kid? What is this? You probably get a lot of these types of calls around the country during Halloween time. If that was my kid.
Oh.
Scott.
Let the beatings commence.
Because you know, in the day and age that we live in.
Kid's lucky he didn't get shot.
The kid is lucky. Yes. Yep.
That some dad coming outside to protect his daughter or son.
Yep.
Didn't shoot him.
Because that screaming you hear is what appears to be a much younger child who has somehow encountered this kid on the sidewalk and is screaming bloody murder, trying to get to the safety of his house.
So someone has sent us audio. Here it is.
The kid is just terrified that it's taking off running away from this kid that appears to be walking with a knife.
Can we make out in the video how old this
if I had to guess
young person is?
12 to 15.
And dumb.
Clearly. You know, now what's interesting is some of the comments on the thread that I saw aren't particular are a little troubling to me. Like, well, why does the kid have to scream like that? Okay, well, there's a knife-wielding weirdo walking down my street. I'm going to scream, too.
Wow. That's who they're blaming?
That was one of the comments that I saw. I was like, that's what you got out of watching that video?
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Of course, Dana and Sam and I are not advocating that this kid should be taken out. But you're almost asking for it.
Now, we've seen videos going around TikTok and Facebook Reels of similar things happening, people dressing up specifically like Michael Myers and creepily walking through neighborhoods ahead of Halloween.
Yeah, just don't have a knife.
Well, no, with a fake knife, a big fake butcher's knife.
You would not believe how many people on the thread are dismissing this. Let me just read a couple of them.
Okay.
Society is weak. Go up and confront the person. Okay, brilliant. Maybe people should just call the police and document the situation like they did now that this is on film. Reply, what's on film? A kid walking on a public sidewalk? Boy, the police are going to have a heyday with that lead.
That's a lead. You have a kid walking down the street with a knife. I mean, I don't need you to remind everybody that the age of a lot of high school shooters is 16 or 17.
Reply. He was walking around behind my neighbor's backyard today around 3:30 with some kind of weapon or tool in his hand, walking toward the park.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
if that's my kid, he's on restriction for months. No phone, no video games, no nothing. He's lucky he's alive. And I'm being serious.
I didn't go that far, but I said similar things when people were wearing the Mike Myers mask and walking in the dark theater mm-hmm. behind people. They didn't touch anyone. But I remember saying at the time, you're in an environment where you're already, the cortisol is flowing through your body, Scott. You're already jump scared.
Yeah.
Now you throw in creepy masked guy with a fake knife standing behind me. I think I said at the time, someone's going to get punched in the face.
Yep. Robert in Kansas City. Robert, hello. Hello, Robert.
Robert, go ahead.
Are you trying
heavy
to scare
breather.
Us?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, heavy breather.
Hey. Sorry, I'm working.
what do you work as, a sprinter?
We had a guy that dressed up and rode a horse like the Headless Horseman through my neighborhood on Halloween.
Okay.
And it would scare all the kids.
And Robert, that clearly, though, a Headless Horseman galloping through a neighborhood, odd. But my first thought would be, oh, that's not how I would spend my time, but that's clearly like a Halloween prank. A kid walking down the street with what appears to be a knife, scaring
that's
the crap
homicidal.
Out of other little kids? Come yep. on.
Now, if it were 7:30 p.m. and dusk on Halloween and this kid was dressed in the same outfit,
no one would
the
say
same
a thing.
Thing.
No one would say a thing. I still think
even
it would
with
be,
the, even with the knife?
I think it would still be stupid. And if that was my kid, I oh my gosh, there would be consequences.
Now, when you say he had a box on his head, do you mean like a cardboard
yes,
box?
Like a square, a cubed box covering his head.
Like what we used to call in the movie business, a book box. Because books weigh so much, they were small boxes like
yeah,
this.
Sure.
I mean, I had a fake bloody machete that went along with my Halloween costumes growing up. Was I crossing a line by carrying that around on October 31st?
At the point that you know, Sam, even prior to Halloween, at the point that you know, it's about intent. To me, this kid's intent is to terrorize the kid that runs screaming.
But how do you know that his intent is not to kill the kid running screaming?
Well, if you ask the kid immediately after this happened that ran screaming, the child would tell you, I thought he was going to hurt
That's
me.
That's my point.
And so it's not what, as the perpetrator, if I can use that word, it's not what your intention is. The police will tell you, it's what the victim felt. Did you feel fear? Did you feel like your life was in danger? Yes.
Or if law enforcement is called, what they perceive to be the threat. You know, if they tell the kid with the box on his head, weirdo, stop, do not move forward, and he starts walking towards the police with a knife.
We have seen those cases play out in real time in America, and the result is
fatal.
Fatal.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks.
If you look back at the history of Halloween pranks gone wrong, it never ceases to amaze me how stupid people can be, Scott. Some parents
in not limited to Halloween.
Illinois in 2010 played an ill-considered Halloween, quote, prank on their children that could have landed them in jail. The parents decided to frighten the children by staging a, quote, fake murder in which the child's mother was the, quote, victim. The couple's kids, ages 6 and 8, believed that their mother really had been killed. They ran next door where a neighbor called 911.
Mm. Mm.
God, people are dumb. They're so dumb.
I'm telling you, I hate to be a party pooper. This is my least favorite holiday of the year. I don't enjoy it.
Back in October of 2016... an 18-year-old named Michael March was dressed as a clown And a judge did not think it was funny when he chased a pregnant woman with an axe, like down the sidewalk.
That's not funny.
The victim of the prank picked up a brick and threw it at him before fleeing for her life. He later that night thumped his axe on the ground, frightening another couple walking past him. They called police. He said he was just trying to play a prank.
Trying to be funny. You're chasing a pregnant woman? Is that what you said? A pregnant woman?
Yep, he got 6 months in jail.
Good.
Now, the video that you sent me is very blurry. The text line is wondering, was the box on his head like a Minecraft costume?
I have no idea, but like I think my kids used to play Minecraft. Are there knives in Minecraft?
There are swords. And
it's the knife, not the box. Let's focus, people. The box makes it weird. The knife makes it, to me, potentially
threatening.
Threatening, yeah.
Ryan in South Kansas City. Ryan, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was just thinking about, I don't know if you guys saw any of these videos, but a while back, people were dressing up in clown costumes and, you know, just like walking out of the woods and scaring people or, you know, like popping up in parking lots. Yeah, but that all stopped when two or three people got shot to death by doing that.
Ryan, I don't know what you're talking about, and we're getting some really weird feedback on your phone.
If it was around the time where It was released, or the second one, I would not be surprised that people were roaming around playing clown fool.
I'll be honest. Last Halloween in our neighborhood, somebody tied red balloons to the grates of every sewer.
That's pretty funny, actually.
In our neighborhood. And I even thought, that's pretty, because one of the balloons was in my front yard. And I'm like, that's pretty crafty.
But I don't remember any of the It clowns being shot. They did that for both movies as promotional items, similar to the smile people showing up in the Diamond Club seats behind playoffs for the MLB.
Benjamin in South Kansas City. Benjamin, hello.
Hey, so not a Halloween, but it was the best April Fool's joke a radio station ever played. Back in the 1980s, a radio station in La Crosse, Wisconsin DJ was Boosie Bumchuckles. Bumchuckles had put out that the telephone company was putting out a line test for the phones, and they were supposed to put bags over all of your landlines.
Oh, gosh.
Well, they were all landlines at that time. Everybody fell for it. It was hilarious. The best radio prank ever.
What was the name of the disc jockey?
Boosie Bumchuckles.
Boosie Bumchuckles.
Brucey.
Oh, great name.
Yep.
Great name.
All right.
Okay. Hey, everybody, I'm Brucey Bumchuckles.
Hey, everybody.
Coming so
at you. A couple of other stories here real quick. Goldfish crackers are synonymous with hungry kids, but the company is betting that a more sophisticated name change could expand their audience. The Pepperidge Farm snack brand is tweaking its name on goldfish crackers to Chilean sea bass. I'm not making this up,
no.
And this is not a prank.
No.
Chilean sea bass. They say it's a more grown-up title. It's part of a strategy to attract adults and reestablish the brand's relevance amid a broader decline in snacking following the pandemic peak.
Okay.
I'm an adult. I'm 53 years old. I buy goldfish. I think they're delicious.
What about the actual Chilean sea bass that's a fish that you can buy and make and eat?
I got nothing, Sam.
Not a lot of people eat goldfish. That's why it was kind of funny.
Follow-up to a story we had, I believe, last week on the program. This is from the Associated Press. A federal rule banning fake online reviews is now in effect starting today.
Really?
The Federal Trade Commission issued the rule in August banning the sale or purchase of online reviews. The rule, which went into effect today's Wednesday, went into effect on Monday, allows the agency to seek civil penalties against those who knowingly violate the law.
Good.
Oh, but you can still, as a company, go online and make fake accounts to make fake bad reviews about your competitors with no issue.
That's
you just
not,
can't pay people to write good reviews about you.
Okay, so it bans the sale or purchase of online reviews.
Meaning you can't send them the item for free and say, hey, we'll send you $100 if you give us a great review.
You're not supposed to pay people to vote a certain way in an election. That's been a law for decades.
Are they really going to stop this from happening?
No.
Yeah, they would have to hire an entire department the size of the IRS to keep track of that.
It also bans businesses from creating or selling reviews or testimonials. Businesses that knowingly buy fake reviews, procure them from company insiders, or disseminate fake reviews will be penalized.
By the way, the fine could be up to, did you see this? $52,000 per violation.
It's a rather specific number.
$52,000.
So now if you're going to pay somebody to make a good fake review for you, just give them cash and don't email them about it so you don't get caught.
Thank you, Sam. Always the criminal mind. Always the criminal mind.
After it was announced last week that Eric and Lyle Menendez might have their case reevaluated based on the emergence of new evidence, the Los Angeles District Attorney yesterday clarified that that decision will likely come by the end of this week.
Wow.
In an unrelated news conference, because remember, last week, the family of Eric and Lyle Menendez held a news conference with his attorney.
Aunts, uncles, cousins.
They brought everybody out. And we thought that the DA was going to be present at that news conference. He was not. And so it was sort of anticlimactic. Now George Gascon, the LA district attorney, answering a prompt for an update on the brothers' potential resentencing, said, as I said 10 days ago, I don't remember him saying this, but he claims he did, I would make a decision within 10 days or so. I plan to make the decision by the end of this week. Yes, the end of this week.
Exciting stuff.
It is so long overdue.
You know, this was, I was telling you, I went over to Sarah's house last night for dinner with my mom and T and her boyfriend. And we talked about a ton of stuff. The Menendez case did come up. I mean, Sarah's, what, 23 years old? Yes, 23. I had to check.
Me too.
and she was interested in the Menendez case. I mean, she wasn't even alive for it.
Someone called in or texted in a while ago and said, we were talking about it, like, who cares? And to me,
it was the day that we played the press conference. Yeah, I said that nobody cares.
I vehemently disagree.
It's not just the facts of the case. Those boys have never denied shooting their parents. It's to me the historical shift and significance in how we treated sex abuse and incest victims and survivors then, which was not that long ago, and how they are treated today, or how that testimony is viewed in court today. Right. The testimony in the second trial was never allowed about the abuse. Right. Of course they were convicted.
Immediately from the text line, how is this long overdue? They were adults and executed their parents. There was absolutely no question that they did it.
But I said something at dinner last night, and I said it on the air.
If you think their father is in a warm, happy, sunshiny place right now, and you believe in that stuff, you're mistaken. Warm.
Well, but I said this at dinner last night, and everybody agreed with me. And I said it on the air last week. If Lyle and Eric Menendez were Sally and Lucy Menendez, they would have never been convicted.
This is what Garrigo said. If the Menendez brothers were Menendez sisters, we would not even be having this conversation.
That's correct.
And why is it so much easier for people to believe that girls are victims of sex abuse and so much harder to believe that it can happen to boys? We know that another now adult but then teenager has come forward to say he was raped by Jose Menendez.
He's a member of Menudo.
A member of the band Menudo.
I mean... And
the guy was a monster. I'm not going to go as far as to say they deserved what they got, but this was not some let's wake up one day and just kill mom and dad because I want to go buy a Rolex. If you really think about how ridiculous that entire scenario is, no one would believe it.
Do you think it also would have been very different had they not been 18 at the time?
Well, one was 21, the other was 18. They were still living at home.
Right.
And I do think that they committed a crime.
Well, without question. They've never denied it.
Yeah, they committed a crime. I just don't know it was a and they received the death penalty.
Right.
I don't think it was a death penalty crime, and I don't think it's life in prison crime.
Like, had they been 10 and 13, they would have walked.
And for anyone saying this is only in the news now because the prosecutor's running for re-election, what do you think the prosecutor was doing back then when he, with cameras in his face, kept saying, we're going to seek the death penalty? Come on.
Trying to hold
this
on
was
to
completely
office.
Political back then. Yep. If you think it is political now.
And why does the DA sound like the most Hollywood DA ever? George Gascon.
Gascon.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Sam Stevie III. Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. We now know the name. I don't believe we knew it yesterday of the 41. I'm not laughing. Channel 41 reporter who was hit by a bullet fragment while covering a campaign event for U.S. Senate candidate Lucas Kuntz. His name is Ryan Gamboa. He was covering the event at a private residence in Holt, Missouri. Adam Kinzinger was there as well, a former congressman, about 40 miles northeast of Kansas City when he was struck in the arm. It was unclear if he was struck by a bullet ricochet or another type of metal fragment, maybe from the metal target.
Kuntz, I still cannot believe they were doing what they were doing.
Kuntz was firing an AR-15 style weapon at the time that the reporter was struck. Yeah. Kuntz was among those who provided treatment to Gamboa, wrapping a bandage around his arm.
I will say the reporter had a very big smile on his face and was laughing while he was being cared to by Kuntz.
You can't then continue reporting on whatever story he was there to report on.
Oh, he stayed.
You become part of the story.
Yeah, once you're shot or bleeding and you need a tourniquet from an AR from someone posing as a candidate on either side, I would say that, yeah, you've become part of the story.
You just mentioned this during the commercial break. LeBron James and Bronny James.
What a moment.
Checked in together with 4 minutes left in the game.
What a moment.
Yeah. Did you see the commercial, the build-up commercial?
Uh-uh.
So it's Bronny James. They showed it on SportsCenter this morning. It was really funny. Bronny James comes out of his house. He's got his, you know, his yeah. bag with presumably his shoes and his jersey in it and everything. He's getting ready to get into his car. He opens the car door, the driver's side door, and it is filled with cereal.
I did see that. And Fruit Loops or something?
I thought it was Lucky Charms, but I don't know.
Yeah.
All this cereal comes flooding out of the car. And he's standing in the driveway, you know, the car still got, it's still half filled with cereal. And this is unboxed cereal, by the way. And the driveway's got cereal all over it. And then this really nice car rolls up and the back window comes down and it's LeBron James. And he goes, "Hey, rookie, don't be late for that game." And
so good.
And Bronny goes, "Are you serious, man?" He goes, "And clean up my driveway. It's a mess." And he just rolls nice. Up the window with
so
a,
good.
With a, like a poop-eating smile on his face yeah. and drives off. It was really cute.
Did you guys see a couple of weeks ago that LeBron said in a press conference that during games, he's not allowed to call, Bronny is not allowed to call LeBron dad.
No, he's yeah. not.
He said after the game, before the game, it's dad, not during the game.
He did say that he can call him king, and I was like, all right.
Okay.
Let it go.
Calm wow. down.
Let it go, Prince. You ain't no Michael Jordan. Anyway, LeBron James and Bronny James checked in together during the second quarter, I beg your pardon, I thought it was the fourth quarter, of Tuesday's season opener against the Minnesota Timberwolves and received a standing ovation. In checking in together, they became the first father-son duo in NBA history to play in a game together. Hmm. Lakers won, by the way.
How long do you think it'll last?
Probably not very long. By the way, Bronny James didn't score. He did have a shot, but it missed. They are not the first father-son to play together in professional sports.
I was going to say, you have Tiger and Charlie Woods.
Mm-hmm. Gordie Howe played with his sons Mark and Marty in the NHL. Tim Raines and Tim Raines Jr. played together in MLB. And, of course, Ken Griffey Sr. and Ken Griffey Jr. were father-son duo in Major League Baseball as well. And, by the way, I think the Griffeys were at the game.
That's so cool.
Both of the Griffeys were at the game last night.
It is pretty sweet. It is also painting the quick exit for LeBron James because he said that he was going to stay in the league until he got to play with his son. That has been achieved.
When we get back, do you still keep a paper copy of your insurance card and license and registration, all the stuff you're supposed to keep in the event you get pulled over? Or do most of us, at least with the insurance card, have that as a digital file on your cell phone?
Did you get pulled over?
I did not, but there is now a lawsuit.
It was a rare month.
There is now a lawsuit over what one officer is accused of doing with a woman's cell phone. He pulled the woman over. She handed him the phone and said, here's my insurance information. Mm-hmm. He walks back to the squad car with it. And now there's a lawsuit.
It's a Missouri story,
and
too.
It is a Missouri story. And now I'm like, oh, my gosh. Do they get to take your phone if it's?
Well, you're handing it to them. I mean, if you handed them your paper insurance card, which, no surprise, is what I
have. But they're not keying in the insurance information. They're just looking to make sure it's, you know, not expired. And
I don't believe that's accurate. I believe they do key in your insurance information.
We're going to have this out when we get back.
I wouldn't know, because the few times that I have been pulled over, I never had my insurance card on with me. That was always fun.
Well, after you hear this story, you might not keep it on you for any reason.
Or you may just do what Scott Parks does and get a paper copy.
I keep the paper copy in my truck now.
He keeps it with his checkbook and ledger.
It's a great spot to keep it. He never loses it.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam.
Well, it might fall out of Walmart.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget to check out the Dana Parks podcast, available anytime you want, anywhere you go. Just go to KMBZ.com. News is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.